Okay, let's begin our discussion of Parshas Kisisa. Parshas Kisisa, Parshas Para. This Shabbos, I wanted to mention, this Shabbos afternoon, this Parshas here will be on Parshas Para and Tamei HaMitzvos. So I'm not going to really touch on that tonight. Maybe I'll leave at the end with a question to whet the appetites, and I'll maybe quote where the answer is, those who are listening online who can't make it to Beit Shemesh this Shabbos. But Beit Hashem may be at the end. But we will focus our attention on Parshas Kisisa. We know the name of the Parsha is in the beautiful new set of Divrei Torah from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Gutnik edition. So at the beginning of every Parsha, it has a thought on the name of the Parsha. How the name of the Parsha reflects the content of that Parsha. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe asks the simple question, Kisisa. Kisisa is about the first few psukim discuss the counting of Am Yisrael, of the Machzor Shekel. We read it a couple of weeks ago, Parshas Shkalim. But literally, Kisisa means when you raise up. We raise up the Jews by counting them. But Kisisa means raising up. So isn't it ironic that the Parsha, that Bnei Yisrael reach the depths of its existence, the Parsha where they commit one of the most heinous crimes in the history of the world, the Chet HaEgel, Klal Yisrael dance around the golden calf, that's the Parsha that's called Kisisa. That's the Parsha that were raised up. That's Kisisa. So what exactly is the message? By the way, as we mentioned, as many mentioned, that is why this Aliyah is so weighted, that the first two Aliyos are huge, and the last five Aliyos are tiny. Why? Why don't you just even it out? They couldn't figure out how to make it more even. So the Bali Drush said, because the Yisrael cannot have the Aliyah of the Egel, because he committed the crime. So we have to make sure that a Kohen and a Levi get the entire story of the Egel. The Egel is in the second Aliyah. So that's why you have to stretch the first two Aliyahs. So a Kohen and a Levi could get the first two, and then Shlishi, okay, that starts after the Egel, and nobody can be incriminated. So that is why the Aliyahs are as they are. But, ask the Lubavitcher Rebbe, why is the Parsha called Kisisa? Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, really, the Parsha is not just about the Egel, the Chet. But, as we know, the Parsha is about the Yerida with the Chet, and the Aliyah from the Chet. That's what the Parsha is about. Before we finish Sheni, we already have reconciliation. We already have the Yud Gimel Midos. We already have the Nechama, that we are back close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says in the second column, we have revelation. God gives Moshe the divinely inscribed first set of luchos. Rebellion, the golden calf, and reconciliation. By Moshe for the sin on behalf of the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up for the three sets of 40 times, 40, 40, 40, ultimately getting the second luchos on Yom Kippur. But that's where it ends. The bottom right, these three phrases are each crucial parts of a larger whole. Thus, even the middle stage of rebellion was ultimately intended by God as a precursor to the reconciliation that was to follow. This also explains why the whole of our parsha is called Kisisa. You raise up the Jews, because you know what Jews are about? Jews are about stumbling and getting up. Jews are about Kisisa. For even the darkest moments of Jewish history have been orchestrated by God as a pathway to the redemption when the ultimate raising of the heads will take place. So that is why it's called Kisisa. Because we're about going down and eventually then going up. The same thought we might have mentioned elsewhere, but I'll mention it now, is said by the Shemin HaTov or by Weinberger in Parshas Bereishis. The end of Parshas Bereishis, we have the not-so-famous pasuk, Zeh Sefer Toldos HaAdam. This is the Sefer of the Toldos, the generations of man. Why is this not such a famous pasuk? And why do I emphasize that? Because of the Medrash. The Medrash tells us, he quotes it, that the third line, V'yahavta l'reichal kamocha, darash Rabbi Akiva zeh kol hagodol b'Torah. Rabbi Akiva says, V'yahavta l'reichal kamocha, that's the greatest klal. That's an amazing klal in the Torah. V'alzeh Hosef Ben Azai says, no. Zeh Sefer told us HaAdam, that's an even greater pasuk. If we would have been given the top 100 psukim in the Torah, we probably would not have picked Zeh Sefer told us HaAdam. So what exactly is the message of that pasuk, and what is Ben Azai saying? Oh, that's an amazing pasuk, even compared to V'yathlo Recha Kamocha. That's an amazing pasuk. Says the Shemin HaTov, Line 5. Dine ha pasik ba la achar parshas Kayin vehevel. This pasuk comes after the story of Kayin and Hevel. Kayin sin. Kayin, depending on your pshat, tries to do tshuva. Uli achar leida sheis la adam. She'alav ne'amar shasli elokim zera acher. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Adam another son. After Adam and Chava. After Kayin and Hevel. Zeh Sefer told us ha'adam. You know what the message is? This is what life's about. Life's about having Yeridos and then having Alios. Going down sometimes, chataim, becoming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the chait. V'imkein ba kasal olam deinu. The Zeh Sefer told us Adam. Af kishu kvar nichsha b'chei gadol kazeh. Even after a great sin, k'mo ritzicha shel Kayin. V'chein cheto shel Adam arishon. Even after these great sins, Kayin tries to do tshuva, according to many. But it's pasher imkono. Ubana ir al shem b'no chanoch. V'chein Adam arishon. And Adam does tshuva. And therefore, it comes along the Torah and says, "Zeh Sefer told us ha'adam, sha'al ha'adam lo lehisyayish lagamri lahaskal mechadash." Don't think you have to start again. Don't think it's all they do. This is life. Nobody's perfect in life. There were four people perfect in history, but that's it. Besides those four, besides Amram and Binyamin and Kilav and Yishai, nobody else. So besides that, we all have Yeridos. We all have Nefilos. But the godless of a Jew is Kisisa. Even the Parsha of the Chet HaEgel is called Kisisa, because the Jew gets up. The Zeh Sefer told us Ha'adam. Finally, related to this, it's a famous letter of a Futner, source number 3 in Yeres Uksavim, where a Talmud writes to a Futner, you don't have the question, but you can see what the question is from the answer. The question was obviously, a Talmud writes, Rebbe, there's so many things I have to work on, there are so many things that I have difficulty with, I have trouble with my Lashon Hara, I have trouble with my Bittul Torah, I have trouble. Why can't I be like the Gadol Hador of so-and-so? Why can't I be like him? He's so easy, he's perfect, right? He had a yarmulke on when he was born. Why can't I be like him? Why can't I be like him? That was the Talmud's question. Why can't I be like it says in the Gedolim book? Says Rav Hutner, Michtavcha higia liyadi, v'dvarecha higia lilvavi. I got your letter and your words go to my heart. Dalucha chavivi, you should know. Ki etze mechtavcha misnagedhu l'chol hatiurim hanimseim bo. Your letter itself goes against everything that you describe. What do I mean? Let me explain. V'ideni bazela hasbir lucha tochen mishpat zeh. Let me explain that your letter goes against all the descriptions found in it. Ra'a cholehu etzleinu. There is a deep sickness in our world, says Rav Hutner. Shekasher misaskim anu bitstadei hashleima shel gdoleinu. When we discuss how great our rabbis were, how great our gdolei hador were, hinenu mitaplim b'sikum ha'achron shel ma'alasam. We only focus on the results. We focus on what they achieved. We focus on their accomplishments. That's what we do. How many times did he learn through Shas? How many times? How perfect he was with Shlomo Zalman every time he had to deal with somebody else? We focus on the Totsah. Misaper Manuel Darkei Shlema Shalahem. Bisha'a Sha'anachnu Medalgim, but we skip. Al Hama'avak HaPnimi Sheitcholel B'Nafsham. We don't focus on the inner struggles that each of them for sure also had. Haroshem Selsicha Tenu al Gdolim. When we talk about the Gdolim Miskabel, Kiilu Yatsu Mitachas Yada Yotzer Bekomasa Misavyonam. They were born perfect. At 3 years old, they were ready, being Maver Sedra. They were born perfect. Hakol Misochachim Mispa'alim Umirimim al Nais. We lift them up. As Taras Haloshan Shalapala Chavetz Chaim Zatzal. The Chavetz Chaim never said a bad word in his life. And only Rav Hutner can say the next line. Avo mi yodeya, who knows? Kol ha-milchamos, all the inner battles, ha-ma'avakim, the struggles, ha-michsholim, ha-nefilos. Who knows how many times the Chafetz Chaim stumbled? V'ha-nesigos la'achar, and when he went backwards, shematza ha-Chafetz Chaim b'derech ha-milchama, Shalom Yetzahara. We have no idea how much the Chavetz Chaim struggled with his Yetzahara. How much he wanted to say Lashon Hara. Mashal Echemine Elef, and this is just one out of the thousands. Vidailun Avonsha Kamoscha, you, my dear student, smart one like you, La Durmina Prada La Klal, you should realize. Rav Huttner says that everybody has Nefilos. But what made him the Chafetz Chaim is that he was Kisisa. He conquered the Nefilos, and he raised himself up after those Nefilos. You know what you get from any book, any story that says that somebody didn't even have a struggle? Kishenar bal ruach, bal sheifa, you have a young child, somebody who has yearnings. Bal tesisa, mosi, ba'atzmo, mechsholim, nefilos, yeridos. Somebody sees that they've misstepped. Harayudome be'enav kebilti shatul b'beit Hashem. Forget it. I'm never going to be like him. It's worthless. I'm never going to reach that level. Says Rav Huttner, we are doing ourselves a disservice if we publish a biography of a gadol and say that he was perfect from day one. That's a disservice, because that's just going to cause yeyush to occur in so many of our hearts. So we have to make sure that we talk about their greatness, and we talk about what they achieved, but we have to make sure that they were human beings also. And we talk about their faults, and we talk about things that they might have done earlier. Right? We can't rewrite history. That's not fair to them, and that's not fair to us. There were Nefilos, and we all will have. And he continues even, the next page, top of the page, Avol Dalecha Chavivi, Sheshorish Nishmascha Hu Lo HaShalva Shel HaYetzer Tov. The goal of a Jew is not to have the shalva, the calmness and the serenity of a Yetzer Tov, El Adafka Milchamto Shel HaYetzer Tov. A war with our Yetzer Tov. And he writes, Ba'anglit Omrim, He was a rav in Brooklyn. Lose a battle and win a war. Right? Sometimes we lose. Sometimes we stumble. We'll miss it. But in the larger picture, we have to overcome. That's Kisisa. That's Zeh Sefer Toldos HaAdam. And that's Rav Huttner. Even the Chafetz Chaim had Nefilos. But he overcame, and that's what made him great. Good. Continuing the parsha, again, the first aliyah has many little discussions. Matzah Shekel, the Kiyor, the Samim, and the Mishkan again is built, and the end of the aliyah, end of Rishon, has Shabbos. Discussion of Shabbos. Shabbos is described there. Rav Shamru is here, and Shabbos is described in the previous pasuk in Perek Lamed Aleph. Pasuk Tesvav, Sheshes Yamim Ye'aseh Melacha, Uvayam Ashvi, Shabbas Shabbason. Kodesh Lashem. Where some say that, oh, Yom Kippur is Shabbas Shabbason. Shabbos is also Shabbas Shabbason. Right here, Shabbos is called Shabbas Shabbason. Right, it's a double Lashon. What exactly is Shabbas Shabbason? What does that mean? Rest of a rest, Shabbas Shabbason, says Rashi, Minuchas Margoa, Velo Minuchas Arai. A resting of Ragua, a real resting, not a temporary, awry resting. What is Rashi driving at? So last year we discussed Aksava Kabbalah. Feel free to look at that beautiful thought again. But this year we'll go to Rav Sternbach in source number 5. Rav Sternbach writes, what does it mean, Menuchas Margoa, v'lo Menuchas Arai, v'kavanaso nir'eh, she'ena Menucha, k'derek ha'amelim, asher heim nachim mimalachtam l'shah. Menuchas Shabbos doesn't mean, I was hard working, so now I'm taking a rest. I'm taking a lunch break. That's not Shabbos. Shabbos is not a break. I'm stopping. I am ceasing what I was doing. I'm really doing work. I'm doing my 6 days of the week, and I'm stopping from that. And I can't wait to get back to what I was doing. Right? That's not Shabbos. That's Menuchas Arai. Where the menucha is arai and everything around the menucha is keva. That's not what Shabbos is. Ella, zu menuchas margoa, asher mosif kedusha b'ha'adam, umashpesk mikdushasa, l'sheishis yimei hamase. It's not that Shabbos is a break from the other 6 days. We're going, stop, take a break. Going, stop, take a break. No, it's just the opposite. Shabbos is the ikker. Shabbos is the kfiyas. I get spiritually invigorated on Shabbos, which helps me get through the rest of the week. That's what Shabbos is about. That's a menuchas margoa, menuchas hanefesh. We can't translate it as rest. Because what's rest? Rest is means resting from something. No, but this is resting for something. So rest really isn't a good translation. It's Shabbos. Shabbos Shabbason. Shabbos mikadeshes es kol hayomim lihiyosa bebechinas yon kimin haShabbos. The whole week derives its sustenance, its spiritual sustenance. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, previous, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. My Talmidim already speak of Shabbos on Wednesday, right? Why? Because we say Lechoran on that Wednesday morning. We're already looking forward to the next Shabbos. Maybe they're just waiting for Parsha Shir. I don't know. Pirush Rashi, Shmiras Kudush Asol Shmi. Right, so that's Shabbos Shabbason. Shabbos Shabbason means a Shabbos, that a day of rest, that is Menuchas Margoa. A couple of months ago, Rav Nevenzal came out, Talmidim came out with a Sefer all on Shabbos. All on Shabbos. First part is drushas on Shabbos, then he has pshatim on zmiras and davening on Shabbos, and then he has chidushim on Masech Shabbos in the Gemara. So in one of those drushas, we could use that sefer on Parshas Bereishis, Parshas Kisisa, Vayakel. So just did a thought, so I thought I'd use it now. Because of Nevenzal, source number 6, going over to number 7. So what are we doing when we rest on Shabbos, this Menuchas Margoa? So what are we representing with our behavior? What are we doing? So 2 points he has. First, a fascinating idea. I didn't give you the beginning of it, but Rav Nevenzal, he says, first he quotes the historians, philosophers, archaeologists, who asked the question, how could it be that the world was created, according to the Jews, 5,770 years? How could it be that God did it so quickly? How could it be the dinosaurs were millions of years old? How could it be God did it so quickly? Says of Nevenzal, he'll get to that question in a minute, but says of Nevenzal, Chazal asks just the opposite question. Just the opposite question. Right? They ask, how could he do it so quickly? We ask, Chazal ask, why did God do it so slowly? Pirkei Avos, V'hine l'havdil bin amadanim, l'chazal ha'isa kushi hafucha l'chalotin. Chazal Sholin, Basar Mamos Divrei Ha'olam. The world was created with 10 Mamarim. Hashem uttered 10 utterances. And Kaviyocho, that created the world. Matam Alomar. Father Bamamarecha Yochli Baros. Right? Hashem could have done it quicker. Not slower, like they say. How did God do it so quickly? We say, why did God do it so slowly? Hashem could have just said, Yehi Ha'olam. That's it. Yehi Olam. Yehi Or. Yehi Rakia. Yehi everything. Yeah, he owe him, period. Whole world's here. Why did Hashem do that? So he answers the opposite. What is the answer? What is Chazal's answer? Line 16. Chazal tears with his kushyasam. Madua nevra olam basar ma'amarish v'olam ba'amar echad. Lihi para min arishayim. Shema abdin esha olam shenivra basar ma'amaros. Because the fact that God, kaviyachol, it took him 10 efforts to create the world, that shows the world is so valuable. And therefore, if the Rishayim don't use the world, they get punished worse. And if the Tzadikim use the world, think of the schar they get. Because this is such an amazing world. It didn't just take one, it took 10, the effort of God. Kaviyachol, whatever that means. So they say that's why God did it. But now Rav Nevenzal goes one step further. So it took him Asar Mamaros. Why didn't he just do it in one day? Same question Chazal asks, but just ask it again. Why did it take him 10? He could have done it in one. He gives an answer. So why didn't he do all 10 in one day? Why do you have to spread it out over 6 or 7 days? Bishlam, line 20, Asar Mamaros, Lom Mamar Echad. Zeom Yatab Shabr Chazal. Aval Gam Asar Mamaros, Eshalom Rabbi Yom Echad. Umado Haitzarach Lefazar Mapre Shisha Yamim. Why do you have to scatter the Mamaros over 6 days? Says the Rav Nevenzal. Unbelievable. This is point number 1 of 2 from Rav Nevenzal that we appreciate Shabbos with. Says Rav Nevenzal, if the whole world was created in a day, and then God rested, so the second day was Shabbos, then for the history of the world, every day would be either Erev Shabbos or Shabbos. You can't exist like that. You can't have a world like that. Every day is Erev Shabbos. Right? We go, great, this Yontif, Erev Shabbos, Shabbos, we can't handle it. Forget it. The whole world would be Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. The world can't function like that, says Rav Nevenzal. You have to build up to it. You have to have a whole week and build up to it. We mentioned in the past the beautiful thought of the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer said, you always build up to what's exciting. Right? That is why the Umos Ha'olam, the other nations of the world, they have their day of rest at the beginning of the week. Right? Sunday. And then they build up to the work. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Right? They did the work. No, no. We have our day of rest at the end of the week. That's what we build up to. Shabbos. That's the goal. So we can't function with the whole world of Erev Shabbat and Shabbat. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to stretch it out. Because again, we have to parallel and mirror. That's what he says on the bottom. Hayaz hayalanu shavua b'shnei yamim bilvad. Erev Shabbos v'Shabbos. Yehudim lo hayu chol mestader b'olam kazeh. Shebo kol ha'olav hu Shabbos or Erev Shabbos. So for our needs, God could have done it in a day. But for us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world slower so that we could have a world with 6 days of work and then a Shabbos. Point one. But then he gets to point two. And that relates to the Menuchas Margoa of Rashi and of Rav Sternbach. What exactly is it that we remember and we represent, and our behavior represents when we rest on Shabbos? And this goes back to the first question that he said. Okay, that's what we dealt with, what Chazal asked. But what about what the others say? And that is the famous question, many answers, books have been written on this, and that is the dinosaurs were millions of years ago. The fossils, the trees. The world has to be much older than 5,770 years old. How do we reconcile it? Various answers given. He quotes one that he likes. Let's see. He gives a mashal. Line 11. Now I'm in source 7. Nita'er la'atzmeinu, he quotes this from Rev Yitzchak Rafael Halevi Etzion. Nita'er la'atzmeinu pasol shem afasol demus adam. Somebody who makes a statue. Somebody carves out a statue. Hapasal, and let's not talk about whether that's halakhically allowed, he says. Okay. Hapasal, pisal demus adam mishmonim shana. He drew a statue of an 80-year-old man. Imsaro levanot, white hair, kmatim befanav, he has wrinkles on his face, vegaf kafuf, he has a bent back. Kishasayim es avodato, when he finished his work, herat yitzirato lechaviv, he showed everybody the statue. Visholotam, ben kama shanim lodaitchem adam zeh, how old do you think this guy is? How old is this guy that I just created? Yesha amru, ben shmonim shana, some say he's 80 years old. He's an old man. V'yesha amru ben yom echad. He's one day old. Mitzadak, who's right? They're both right. Depends on your perspective. Kulam sadku. Elo amru as gilo hachazuti shela pesel. These said what the statue looks like. He looks like he's representative of an 80-year-old man. The Ela et Giloha Amiti. And the other friends, he's one day old because he just created him today. So they're both right. Just like Kamor Abazam and Azariah, Shloshim Yom. You can say this on the Haggadah. I give permission. Shahayah ben Yun Cheshanim Avad, Abazam and Azariah, who was 18 years old. So was he 18? Was he 70? Which one? It depends. Inherently, he was 18. He looked like he was 70. It depends. Hagil, so he says, line 21, Zuhi gama tshuva l'gabi gil ha'olam. That's the answer we have to give. Hagil achazuti shel ha'olam hu kedivrei ha'madanim. What does the world look like? Millions. Millions of years. Ad kama shehem edaykim b'chishivuteyen. But what's the world really like? Inherently, 5,770 years old. Avigil amit shel ha'olam hu kemini nashanim shanim onim l'briya sa'olam. Less than 6,000. Why? It's in a Chazal. The Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Chazal Harei Amrim, 28, Kol Ma'aseh Breishis B'Kol Ma'aseh Nivru. The entire world was created as a mature world. What, everybody was created as babies? A tadpole, a baby rabbit, a baby ox, a baby, Adam was a baby? No! Everybody agrees that Adam was created as, if you believe in creation, which most of them do, Adam was a man. Right? He was created mature. So just like Adam was created mature, and the animals were created mature, says Rav Nevenzahl, the world was created mature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why? That's beyond us. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu create a world that looked like it was millions of years old? That's Shabbos afternoon shiur, about why. We can't ask the why question always. Right? But what? What happened? That's what happened. Just like you build an old statue. Says, Haraya, line 32. V'chena, on line 31. V'l'chena Adam, lo k'tinok ben yomo nivra. Adam was not created as a 1-year-old. Elo k'ben esrim shana nivra. The Medrash says he was like a 20-year-old. Haraya shekvar biyom b'yusa machabiz al-kadosh baruch hashidach. Hashem's looking for a shidach for him on the first day he was created. But if he was a baby, ready to get married? Right? Even in the olden days, we say kids got married young. Not that young. Right? He didn't need a wet nurse. He didn't need anybody. Memele yesh lomar. Shekishem sheha'adam v'hachai v'hatzomeach nivru b'kamatan. Just like man and animals and trees were created already mature, so to the entire world. Says Rav Devenzal, that's what we are mazkir with our behavior on Shabbos. We rest on Shabbos. That's an edus that Hashem created the world. In 6 days, it rested on the seventh, but it's also an edus of how He created the world. Everything that we believe, that the world is 5770, that's all part of our edus. That is Menuchas Margoa. That's all included in what we do on Shabbos. This Eidus that we give, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and this is our answer to the Mad'anim. So, the opposite questions. The question of, why did it take so long, and how did it take so short? Two ideas. He says, I didn't give it to you. But he says, the age-old question in a footnote. He says, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Obviously, the chicken. Obviously the chicken, he says. In a footnote, he has that on the bottom of the sefer. Says, the chicken came first. Okay, Shabbos Shabbos. Good. Weiter. Perek Lamid Beis. That's a Dvar Torah, by the way. Any Shabbos of the year. You got it. Any Shabbos of the year. Well, it's Shabbos, so let me... It's a great thought for Rav Devenzal. Heaven. There's never an excuse anymore that somebody listening out there will not have a Dvar Torah at a Shabbos table. Forever. Because you have this. That's it. Any Shabbos of the year. And it's interesting, and people will find it. The question? That's it. Okay. Thank you, Rav Nevenzal. Okay. Perek Lamed Beis, Pasik Yud Zayin. Here we go. So, last year we discussed a few pshatim approaches of the Chayta Egel. We're not going to go into that this year so much. But, what about the reaction? So, Moshe Rabbeinu turns around, and Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, you have to leave. Vayishma Pasik Yud Zayin. Lamed Beis Yud Zayin. Vayishma Yehoshua's kol am b'rei'o. Yehoshua hears the am. Hears the ruckus. Vayomer Moshe. Kol melchama b'machaneh. There's a war going on. Moshe, says Yehoshua. Vayomer, and Moshe says, my star pupil, sorry, but you're wrong. Ein kol anos gvura, v'ein kol anos chalusha. There's no winners and losers that I hear. Kol anos, I just hear screaming. Anochi shomeya. And when they got close, obviously, the Egel and the Mecholos, and Moshe gets very angry. Says the Chafetz Chaim, you know what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing here? Moshe Rabbeinu is giving tochacha to Yehoshua ben Nun about what it takes to be a leader. What does it take to be a leader? Bottom of the page. Moshe Rabbeinu hochiach es Yehoshua talmido, ala shelo hirgil es ozno, lahakir ulahavdil bin kol lakol. Yehoshua, you're going to be the next leader of Klal Yisrael? You have to be able to be on the people's wavelength. You have to know what they're at, where they're at, what they're up to, what they're doing. If you're over here, all the way up, you think it's a war? Listen to them! They're dancing around the calf! Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Musar to Yehoshua. Al-Manigo Eidol Adas, any rabbi, any teacher, has to have his pulse on his balabatim or students. He's got to know where they are. Ace hakahal meirim kololo meirachok. Klavi mahi mechavnim. Why are they screaming? Alav lahavdil ben kol milchama. But ben kol avod izara. K'moshe ochiyah Moshe laharon achiv. Like Moshe Rabbeinu himself tells his brother. Al she'eni yodeh lahavdil. Be k'nos l'k'nos ace. Quotes a medrash. Quotes a medrash about when it gives the message to Aaron also. They quote in the footnotes of the Chavetz Chaim al Torah, expands on this. Quotes a medrash on the bottom. It says, Managa Eda, after the medrash, Managa Eda, Sarak Leos Balchush Dak Menadak. A leader of a flock has to be a very insightful person with a clarity of thought that he really knows what's in the kishkes of his congregants, of his students. Right? If somebody wants to give a shiur, it's just going to go beyond. Obviously, every rav, every teacher has to try to raise up the tzibur and bring them up to the highest of their abilities. But if it's way up, if I'm totally off, I think it's milchama, and it's really a note. It's really an egel that I'm not doing my job. Kenusim yesh lam lefamim b'chai yatzibur. Kenusim shal kelkala. Shein rov atzibur chon lamod al ofi b'tokran. People don't even realize what the get-together is. Skipping. Tamid al ha-mishmar. Omdim tamid al ha-mishmar. Umikivin shashomim kol avara ba'ir. Kfar yodim heim lahavchin min kol ha-kol. You have to look. Heim enim abitim al-barak ha-chitzoni v'alavush. Shebobis chatzim bali asufos. You can't just look on the outside. On externals. Ela yordim minokvim l'toch tocham shal ha-kavanot. Hanistarot shobali hakanos. One of my rebbeim in Drush once said. He says the first. He says there are different drachim of how to prepare a drasha. So his derech was. He says first come up with before. Some it's easier always to look in the parsha, find a nice vart, and then relate it. Depends on your shul also. But he always said. He says I first try to figure out what's in their kishkes. What do they want? What are they talking about? What's on their minds? What's going on at the Shalashudis table? And then once I figure that out, then I go back to the Parsha and find my message from the Parsha. That's what Moshe tells Yoshua. You got to be in tune with what they're doing. You got to get the coal. Got to find the right coal that they're up to. Good. So they go back to the Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu sees them dancing around the egel, source pasuk yutes, vayichar af Moshe, vayashlei b'yadav es haluchos. He throws the luchos down, vayishaber otam tachas ahar, and he breaks them under the mountain. Famous question: why did Moshe Rabbeinu wait to break the luchos until he got down the mountain? Hashem says, "Reichi chesamcha, your nation has gone bad. So why didn't you just break him at the mountain, come back with nothing, and say, look, was it just all for effect? Maybe." Well, for effect, Einu Doma Shmiel Ariya, right? If they see the Luchos and Moshe break them, that has a greater Roshem than just like, oh, they'll Moshe will say, I had the Luchos and I broke them. Maybe that's why. But there's another idea that's said by a number of the Bali Musar. I gave it to you again from the Tam Vadas in source number 10. Because if you're a dyke in the Pasuk, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes back in Pasuk Yutes, Vayhi Kasher Karav Alamachane, when Moshe came close to the camp, Vayar esha egel, and he sees the egel. There's one more word, umacholos, the circles, the dancing circles. Then it says, vayicharaf Moshe. Moshe got very angry. Moshe Rabbeinu knew we all sin, that we all have even national problems. But the problem was when he saw the macholos, when he saw the simcha that they had in the avera. We all do averis, but as long as we feel bad about it, as long as we're upset about it, okay, there's hope. But once he sees the dancing around the egel, says the Tam Vadas, Teva ha'adam, kashachote v'nichshol afilu ba'averis ha'chamuros, even if somebody does a terrible avera, kozman she'inu mishollel berisho, as long as I'm not so happy and wonderful, lo ibid madregaso, I'm not totally gone. There's hope that I'll be back soon. When I'm totally scornful and I say, oh, this is amazing. I'm so happy that I live in a life without Torah and mitzvahs. When I'm besimcha about it, that's when there's very little hope. That's when there's very little hope, and you need extra special attention from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you out. Says the Tam Vadas, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't break them. Okay, they didn't have Eira, He comes back and sees the Simcha that they had. Says that's when he said, I have to destroy the Luchos. The same idea suggested Shloshim Yom Achar HaChag, guess we could talk about, on a thought from the Rabbi Yosef Engel, the Gilyoni Ashas in Maseches Megillah. On Daf Yud Beis, in Maseches Megillah, the Gemara says, why were Klal Yisrael in such danger? What did they do wrong that Hashem let Haman create such a decree? So the Gemara says, Mipnei shenene misudasa shel Achashverosh. Because they took part in the party. They took part, imagine Achashverosh. the non-Jewish king, wearing the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol, wearing the choshen and the ephod, sitting at a party, everybody's getting drunk, and the party's for 6 months. It's a six-month party. 180 days. And you know what? After that, there wasn't enough. Another week. Right? 6 months, not enough. Let's have another week. Imagine what kind of society they were living in. And what were the Jews doing? They were there! Give me another drink! Forget the yayin, stam yayinam. I mean, but this is... So, they took part in the party! But the Gemara doesn't just say they took part in the party. What does it say? Shenehene misu daso shalach hashverosh. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, source 11. That one word, nehene. If they were eating, okay, maybe they were forced to eat. They were citizens of the country. But they had anah. They enjoyed themselves. That they were chayef kliya for that. Mishum, where it's underlined, da ha'achila einenu chayt, v'hayu mechrachin aleha, da ha'achila einane be'yari v'yavar. V'rak ha'onish al shenehene me'ha'achila, d'lo ha'ila hem lahargish anah. They shouldn't have had anah. Rak adrab l'tztar mimena. They should have been crying when they did it. They should have been so upset. But instead they got the hanah. So it's not just that when we do something wrong, okay, but if we enjoy what we do wrong, so that makes it all the worse. That's the Egel, and that's the Purim story. As we know, Mida Tova Meruba Mida Puranis, the opposite, it's not just about doing the mitzvah. It's about the simcha that we get when we do the mitzvah. I'm sorry, I didn't put it on the sheet, but it's easy to find. The last Rambam in Hilchos Lulav. The last Rambam in Hilchos Lulav. Says the Rambam, Hasimcha sheyismach ha'adam ba'asiyas ha'mitzvah, u'ba'avas ha'kel she'tziva behen. The simcha that a person gets when he does a mitzvah. Avoda gedolahi. It's a tremendous avoda. Which means it's not easy. Avoda means it's an avoda. It's not always easy to always be besimcha. It's an avoda. V'chol hamoneya atzmo misimcha zu roili par mimenu. But if I'm not besimcha when I do a mitzvah, I'm doing it because it's a burden, then Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to recognize it. V'ein hagdola v'hakavod elo l'smach l'fnei Hashem. The only great covenant, gdula, is simcha in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What pasuk would he quote? Which pasuk in Tanakh typifies this? David HaMelech. When he dances like crazy in front of the Aron, when he's coming back to Yerushalayim. Mechagam HaFazis, remember his wife's looking out from the window? Oh, what is my husband doing? David HaMelech doesn't care. He does it. Mechagam HaFazbez, Lefnei HaAron. And that's what it's about. The Arizal said, Shelo Simchas Ba'avoda Yoser Mi'ilu Matzata Rov Kalatanugim Ba'avanim Tovos Margolius. When we do a mitzvah, we should be just as happy as if we found treasures of silver and gold. That's how we have to do. When a mitzvah crosses our path, besimcha. It's not just about doing the mitzvah. It's about doing the mitzvah besimcha. We've quoted in the past, but it came up again, so I just gave it to you. It's source number 12, the thought of Avraham Minahar, which is not about all mitzvahs, but at least about Talmud Torah. The Mishnah says in Maseches Nedarim that if I am mudar hana'ah from a city, I'm not allowed to get benefit from a city, I'm not allowed to use the Sifrei Torah from that city. I can't learn from that city using the Svar. All the Rishonim there, Nedarim Daf Mem Ches, he asked the question, 1 minute. We have a principle called mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu. Mitzvos are not defined as benefit, pleasure. How about this pleasure? So my learning, that's not pleasure. It's not pleasure. So why shouldn't I be able to use the svarim? That's a mitzvah. Mitzvahs are mitzvahs. Okay, I get schar from Hashem. But mitzvahs lav lehenos nitnu. That's what Rav Avraham Minahar, one of the lesser known Rishonim, says on line 5. Mahalo mitzvahi. U'mitzvahs lav lehenos nitnu. Why can't you get benefit from the svarim of the city? Says Rav Avraham Minahar, v'lav kushihi. No. Learning Torah. Even though we just said from the Rambam that all mitzvahs have an element of simcha in it. But Talmud Torah has an even greater level of simcha that is required and demanded. Action mitzvos, other mitzvos, have the principle that they are not connected to their hana. Even if I love matzah, I shouldn't eat matzah because I love it. I'm eating the matzah because I'm doing the mitzvah. And it's not characterized halachically as hana. End of line 8. Avo mitzvahs limud. But Talmud Torah, shu inyan tzir halevi adias haemes. learning Torah is about getting to the truth. The only thing that's eternal in this world is Torah, is the Dvar Hashem. Iker atzivui litzayer ha-emes. Look at his beautiful lashon. Ule his'aneg v'lehanos b'madel ha-samech levavo v'sichlo. An iker part of learning is to enjoy it, to get a geschmack from it. Obviously, we have to learn even if we're, you know, we're not getting the geschmack. Some gemaras, some are more challenging than others. We have to, it's a commitment. But the goal isn't to do it, I hate this, but I'm doing it because Hashem said. That's not the point of learning. The point is to love it. By the way, that's what he says. That's why in Avel, he's not allowed to learn other things besides Hilchas Avelos. Why? Because in Avel can't be besimcha. Avel can't be besimcha. Avel's chayav in all mitzvahs. All mitzvahs. Why can't he learn? Because Pikudei Hashem Yishar Mesam Chilev. Right, the Torah is about simcha. So the Torah specifically, we just generalize it to all the mitzvahs. But that was the problem with the Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel is because they would not only sinned, but they were happy and they were dancing around their egel. Good. Moving right along. Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Lamed Beis Chaf Aleph. So Moshe Rabbeinu starts taking care of business. Takes the egel, he burns it, he gives some to drink to all Klal Yisrael, like an Ishasota, and then Moshe turns to Aaron and he says, "What happened? What happened? I leave you for 40 days and everything breaks loose. What happened?" By Yirmei Moshe El Aaron, what pasuk chaf aleph? Me asa lecha ha'amazeh. By the way, remember what we mentioned? I actually mentioned this in a daf. With Chur, in the previous stories in Sefer Shmos, Chur was always right with Aaron. By Amalek, Aaron v'Chur. Early Aaron v'Chur, all of a sudden Chur is not there anymore. So Chazal have a Mesorah that they killed him. Gemara and Sanhedrin, they killed because Chur tried to start up. Stop, don't do this. And they killed him. That's why no more Chur for the rest of the Torah. So that's where Chazal get it from. So Moshe says to Aaron, what'd they do to you? Kiev Esau of Chatal Gadola, that you brought such a chait. So Rashi, Me asalacha, Rashi, kama yisurim savalta. How much did they torture you? She yisrucha, ad shelo tavi aleim chetzeh. How much did they torture you to do this for them? That's Rashi. What did they do to you? Says the Ramban. One second. What does that sound like from Rashi? They tortured you so much until you gave in to them. Says the Ramban. One second. Savod Azara. It doesn't matter how much they torture you. It's Yehari Bal Yavar. It sounds like from Rashi that the pshat is that, oh, Aaron, they must have tortured you, and therefore, if they tortured you up until the end, okay, so you gave in. Says the Ramban, what do you mean? It's Yehari Val Yavar, it's Avodah Zarah. So what do you mean they tortured you? They don't nachum be'inai. Ki achet zem en achatoyim sheyehareg aleim v'alo yavar. Right, so what's going on? What is he faulting Aaron? Is he faulting Aaron that he should have given his life? So the Ramban has to give his own pshat. We're not going to do now how this fits into the Ramban's own pshat. The Ramban himself holds that it wasn't Avodah Zarah, about the Egel. Maybe he's going Rashi L'shitaso. Rashi, you say it was Avodah Zarah, so how could you say this? What does Rashi answer? How could Rashi answer back to the Ramban? The Ramban says it's Avodah Zarah, it's Yerba Yavar. Right, you have to be killed for it. So the answer could be, we'll see this later in, did I give it to you? I might have forgotten to give it to you. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky discusses this. The answer could be, was this mamish Aaron did Avodah Zarah? This is lifnei iver of Avodah Zarah. Aaron didn't worship. He just facilitated the worshiping of the rest of Klal Yisrael. And Rashi might answer and say, that's not Yehari Val Yavar. If somebody says to me, bow down to this idol or I'll kill you, I have to give my life. If somebody says to me, convince so-and-so to do Avodah Zarah or I'm going to kill you, maybe the halacha is, I convince so-and-so. It's Lifnei Iver of Yehari Val Yavar. And that's not Yehari, it's Lifnei Iver of the big three of Avodah Zarah. So if you think about it now, what would the Ramban answer back to that? Maybe the Ramban would say no. Lifnei Iver of the big three is Yehari Val Yavar. Even, not only if somebody says, Right? Take murder. Somebody says, kill Reuven or I'll kill you, so we have to be killed. What if somebody tells me, convince Reuven to kill Shimon or I'm going to kill you? Is that Yehari Valyavar? So maybe that's the machlokas here. Rashi might say that Lifneiver of Yehari Valyavar is not Yehari Valyavar. Lifneiver of the big three is not Yehari Valyavar. That's why Aaron Cohen was justified. He suffered. Okay, that's it. Maybe the Ramban holds otherwise. So that is a big discussion, because that is actually, we're not going to go into how this fits into the Ramban's own sheet in Masechet Sanhedrin. Got to work it out, whether it's consistent or not. But either way, this is a machlokas rishonim. Yehareg the lifnei iver of Yehareg of a big three averas, Yehareg valyavar, is it Yehareg valyavar or not? What's the svara behind it? Why should I say that I have to give my life for lifnei iver? I convince somebody else to do one of the big three. Do I have to give my life or not? Machlokas rishonim. Maybe it's a machlokas Yerashi in the Ramban. What's the lumdus behind it? So what the Achronim suggest is, how do I understand lifnei iver? When I violate lifnei iver, let's say I convince Reuven. Well, we always blame Reuven. I convince Naftali to eat a piece of treif. So I violate the Israel of lifnei iver. So what kind of scorecard do I have in Shemayim? Do I have a lifnei iver scorecard? I have 365 cards upstairs of Averis. One of them is lifnei iver. When I convince somebody to do e-treif, I get a check on my lifnei iver card. If I convince somebody to wear shanis, I get a check on my lifnei iver card. Is that how it works? That's what's called klali. Lifnei iver is a general avera. Doesn't matter what avera. It's lifnei iver. Or do I say no? I only have 364 cards in Shemayim. Lifnei iver of each avera is really a little bit of that avera. On my treif card upstairs, the major section is when I ate treif, but there's also a little section of lifnei iver of that avera. If I convince you to eat treif, I get a little bit of a stain of the avera of treif. That's called prati. Lifnei iver is specific to each and every avera. So the Achronim explain, maybe that's behind the machlokas. Maybe this is Rashi and the Ramban. The machlokas rishonim. Do I have to give my life for lifnei iver of the big three? If somebody comes to me and says, convince Reuven to kill Shimon, do I have to give my life? So if I say lifnei iver is the first approach that we said, it's a separate avera. Lifnei iver of everything is just lifnei iver. Then I don't have to give my life. It's not one of the big three. And maybe that's the shita of Rashi. But if I say that lifnei iver is prati, it's a little bit of that avera. So lifnei iver of murder is a little bit of murder. So therefore, maybe I have to give my life in that circumstance of the big three. Again, there are many other examples and nafkaminas related to this, but maybe this is what's behind the discussion of Rashi and the Ramban. Okay, there's two other examples that I have in 14 and 15, but I'll leave that for now. We'll move on just to the last two thoughts of the night. Shlomo HaMelech, which case? You got to work out in Tanakh exactly every story. There are doctoral theses written on how Tanakh personalities worked with various mitzvahs and others. Okay, let's get to the end of the parsha. End of the parsha, last pasuk, Perek Lamed Dalid, pasuk Lamed Gimel, Lamed Dalid Lamed Gimel, towards the end of the parsha, right by Maftir. So now we're in the post-Egel existence of Klal Yisrael. Vayichal Moshe midaber itam. Moshe finishes. Vayitein al panav masveh. Moshe wears a veil. Moshe's wearing a veil. Not only kallahs. Moshe's wearing a veil. Ubavo Moshe levnei Hashem ledaber ito. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Hashem to speak to him, yasir asa masveh say so. He takes off his veil. V'yatza v'diber al b'nei Yisrael ka'is asher yitzuveh. But takes it off. V'ra'u b'nei Yisrael p'nei Moshe ki karan or p'nei Moshe. B'nei Yisrael saw his face, that Moshe's face shined. V'hishiv Moshe asa masveh al panav ad bo ledaber ito. So Moshe had a karan or panav. Moshe Rabbeinu, post-Egel, had a shine on his face. Right? Everybody saw the shining outside his face. So in the Sefer I used last week for the first time, now we'll use it a second time, Yagdol Torah, but now it made it to the sheets. Right? Yagdol Torah, Vayitin al Pana Masveh, he quotes the era of thought from the Sfas Emes, talking about the shiningness on a of a person. Gemara that many are familiar with, Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chavches, Shmonim Talmidim Hailo Hillel HaZakim. Hillel had 80 students. Gadol Shebekulon Yonasan Ben Uziel. The greatest was Yonasan Ben Uziel. And the contrary, Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh was the smallest. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uziel. You know what the Gemara says? Rabbi Yonasan Ben Uziel. B'shasha Yosheva Osek Batorah Kal Of Sheporeach Alav Miyad Nisraf. When he learned Torah, if a bird would be flying over him when he learned, the bird would burn up from the Kedusha of the fire of Torah that Rabbi Yonasan Ben Uziel had, boom. Right, all around them were dead birds. Right? They learned their lesson. They stayed away. It was unbelievable. Said the Sfas Emes, if that was the student, what was the godless of the Rebbe? That was the greatest student, Yonasan Ben Uziel. So what was the godless of Hillel? Hillel was the Rebbe of all of these Talmidim. Amar Sfas Emes, Umahaisa Gdulaso Shal Rabbam Hillel Azakein, Sheof Sheparach Me'alav Lo Nisraf. His godless was, he was so holy that birds above him didn't burn up. What does that mean? Shehillel ba'an v'sanuso yochol lahaster se'ish bekirbo penima uklapichatz l'chutz l'ro klal. He kept the fire in. He was able to keep it sanua. He was able to keep it that nobody was able to see it. Bir b'imri emes. The Imri Emes explains kein haya hamasvah shel Moshe Rabbeinu av shalom. In that ofan, that was what Moshe Rabbeinu's veil. Shehisteris karni ar belibo penima. Hillel learned from Moshe Rabbeinu that he kept the fire, the karna upon of inside. Sheisha penimi shelo lo tia nires mi bachutz. Shouldn't just burn everything. Obviously, Yonasan Ben Uziel was an amazing person. All that we can't fathom these levels that we're talking about. But at least the message for us is that when we, Moshe Rabbeinu had a shine, Hillel had a shine, but he was able to keep it in. He was able not to negatively impact others, burn up. And that's what the Beis Yisrael says at the bottom. Av shalanu ein bechlal malahastir. Mikamakam imlomdim sas l'tzrichan laharas hakol l'chutz. Whatever abilities, whatever fire that we could create, obviously if it's a fire to inspire people, you know, let it out. But if it's a fire that's just abilities and talents, just try to keep it. Try to keep it in. They say that when Rav Kook used to daven, he didn't move. They say he was like a stone. They say this about many gedolim. I heard it about Rav Kook. He didn't move. He stood there, something like a rock. But you just looked at him and you knew there was fire. You knew inside. He didn't move. He was on the level of having such deep kavana, but not moving. It was all in. It was all inside. That's the masveh. And one final point on the Karan or Panav from the Tal Leoros. Right, Mehechan says the Melis Yosheri quotes. Says Moshe's face shone when he came down. Why'd they only shine after the second Luchos? Right, when Moshe came down the first time with the first Luchos, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he broke the Luchos, but it doesn't say his face was shining. It only says his face was shining after the second Luchos. The end of the parsha. Weren't the first Luchos greater? Maisa Lukim? Says the Melis Yosher, beautiful. Baram Emes, Sheshefa Kedusha, Maisa Lukim, Hayu Bluchos Rishonos. Yes, the first ones came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's the point. Dafka Haluchos Ha'achronos, Asher Hayu Maisa Yidei Adam, Yegiya Va'amel, Heim Heim Shezochul Ubracha Meruba Yoser. When you work on something, and when you schwitz for something, it's more valuable and it affects you more as a person when I work for it. If I just get something, it could be even more valuable, but it's not Yigia Kapecha Kisochel, Ashrecha V'Tovlach. When I worked with the Luchos Shnios, had something above the Luchos Rishonos. It was Moshe's hard work. It was Psal Lecha, Shnei Luchos Avanim Karishonim. That's what made him shine, those Luchos. As I said, just to end with a question on Parshas Parah. I'm not going to talk about Parshas Parah, but I'll end with a question that Rav Soloveitchik deals with in one of his articles on Parah Duma in Reflections of the Rav. And he says, Parshas Parah, why is Parshas Chukas Parshas Paraduma, where it is in the Torah. What's it doing there? It's unbelievable ha'ara. All of halachas tuma v'tahara and sefer v'yikra. Tazriya mitzorah. All of halachas tuma v'tahara. All of a sudden, we got Chukah stuck in the middle after Korach and before Miriam dies. What's it doing there? Got to see you Shabbos afternoon, Bez Hashem. But the answer is in Reflections of the Rav, in his article on Paraduma. If anybody wants me to mention it next week, feel free to email, let me know.